Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas. Loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Tech Stuff, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer with How Stuff Works and iHeartRadio, and I love all things tech. And today we're having another classic episode of Tech Stuff. This episode, originally published on October 24th, 2012, is called Tech Stuff Has Clout. And spoiler alert, clout is no longer a thing. But when we recorded this episode, it was a thing. Clout, as you will learn, was all about social media influence and reach. And depending on your point of view, it was either an incredibly useful tool, a tool to turn people into narcissists, or something even more sinister than that. But spoiler alert again, it's all moot now because it's no longer a thing. Anyway, enjoy this classic episode as Chris and I tout our clout.
So today we wanted to talk about clout.
And whether or not you have any.
Yeah.
Maybe not you personally.
Yeah, no.
That guy over there, he's got no clout.
Apparently I have some. It's a not insignificant amount, though not nearly as much as, you know, like Justin Bieber. So what is clout? So clout is this company out of San Francisco that was founded by Joe Fernandez. Back in 2008, he started to build it.
When he couldn't talk. Did you know about this?
No.
There's an article in Wired, and I actually revisited it. It's called What Your Clout Score Really Means. It's from Seth Stevenson. I actually read it in the print edition, but I went back and revisited it so I could throw out my electronic notes.
Sure.
this is really, really funny. He had to have his jaw wired shut.
Oh,
that's not funny. No. I don't think that's funny. But because he couldn't talk, he started tweeting and using Facebook to communicate with people because it was driving him nuts that he couldn't talk to people.
Yeah, I'd be the same way.
He said, and in fact, he said he couldn't, his mom didn't even understand what he was.
Oil can.
Yeah, really. So, I mean, thankfully, he's apparently all better now. But
yes, I've seen interviews with him where he was not wired shut and he was talking.
Yes. So he actually started talking about,
or tweeting
about this, all sorts of different things, about restaurants that he had been to and making recommendations. I mean, you know, again, kind of ironic, as they point out in the article, kind of ironic. He couldn't open his mouth and go eat there.
Right.
But basically product recommendations. He started thinking, because he'd had some experience with statistics, and started thinking, you know, how many people am I talking to, and to whom are they talking? And
right.
how much influence do they have over people who buy stuff or go shopping or go out to eat with these different people? And that's when he started making some rudimentary calculations, rudimentary by the terms of Clout's algorithms today.
Sure.
And started putting together this idea of, you know, how much influence do people have in the social media circles?
Yeah, so this is really an interesting concept to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people would have you believe that influence can be measured solely by things like the number of followers you happen to have on social networks.
Uh-huh.
But Fernandez's point is that's not necessarily the case. You could have lots of people following you, but if no one's really paying attention to what you have to say and they're following you anyway, then your influence isn't that great. You know, there's a lot of people who could potentially hear you, but no one's really listening to you, and that's a problem.
Right.
So you could conversely, have relatively few followers compared to someone who has millions, like, you know, Justin Bieber's got millions of followers on Twitter. Now, he happens to be very influential on Twitter. So that's
heard that.
It's kind of a bad example. But let's say you've got someone who's got over a million followers, but for some reason their clout score is not that high.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that might be that perhaps a lot of those followers aren't real people. They might be bots.
Yes.
So that could be one factor, but what Fernandez wanted to do was measure how much impact a person has on their various social circles and on the web in general, not just how many people are following them. And those are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
So he built this this company and this algorithm, or
yeah.
helped to. Okay.
Yeah, his site, of course, is called Clout with a K. And since its inception, there have been other imitators.
Yep.
I don't know if some of them were actually out beforehand.
And Twitter itself is working on its own implementation of a similar software that would allow you to see, like, when you tweet, how much of your audience are you actually reaching when you send out a Twitter message? And this really applies to people who have lots and lots of followers. So, for example, if you take me, I don't have thousands and thousands of, I've got like 4,000 followers, which mm-hmm. that's a lot for me, because I'm like, well, I'm just a guy, you know, I'm a guy that 4,000 people follow. I hope that I'm interesting enough to justify that. But there are other people out there who have millions of followers, but they don't know necessarily how many of those people they're reaching when they send out a message.
Yeah, just for independent confirmation, I am sitting here directly across from Jonathan, and he is in fact just a guy.
Yes. I'm just a guy with a 65 clout score, though.
That's true. And part of the reason that Jonathan does have a 65 clout score, and that's of the day we're recording this.
Yeah.
These things do change.
Yeah, it could be in the low 40s by the time this podcast goes out.
Part of the reason that Jonathan has a clout score of 65 is because there are a lot of people following him, but he's also well networked with people also in the tech world.
Yeah.
So there are people who share his tweets with other people. That's part of the score. There are people who talk back to him.
Yeah.
Who also have.
Boy, do they talk back to me.
Shut up, you.
Yeah.
see what I did there?
Yes, I do.
There are people who have conversations with him on Twitter. Let's go with that. Who are also influential.
Right.
In the Twitter sphere and on Clout. And therefore, that boosts his reputation, and his ability to network with other people, and so therefore he has a higher score than maybe some other people with more followers.
This might sound really familiar to you, especially if you are familiar with, like, Google's PageRank algorithms, what used to be called PageRank anyway. The idea that Google would use this complex formula to determine how well various sites would rank in search for any particular term that you're searching for. So when you're searching for, cool tech gifts for the holidays, then Google would look through its, use its algorithm and rank all these pages that relate to those search terms and give you the highest ranked ones. And that ranking is based on lots of different factors, including how many websites link into it and how old that particular website that you're looking at is, and other factors as well. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. Mm-hmm. This is the same idea except for people instead of pages. It's how well a person ranks, partly due to their behavior online, partly due to their network that's around them, partly due to how many people are following them. There are a lot of different factors at play.
Yeah, there's actually a web page on Clout's site that goes into the different factors that they will admit to. Now, they don't give you the nuts and bolts. It's a secret sauce, yeah, if you will.
Clearly, you wouldn't want to be able to give out all the information because then people would game the system like crazy just to get their clout score up, which is not the purpose of the site at all.
Or to start a competitor, too.
Yes, another good point.
Yeah, let's talk. I'll mention a little bit more about what they say. Competitors, or critics, I should say, actually criticize Clout because it's, and usually the comparison I've seen is to a credit score. Because the credit reporting agencies don't tell consumers what's actually going into your score.
Yeah.
And in the case of credit, it has to do with, you know, how much you spend, how quickly you pay it back. You know, how many credit cards you have or credit accounts, lines of credit that you have open.
Right.
And lots of different little proprietary things. And each of them has a little different mix. Well, the Clout is sort of the same way. They tell you roughly what goes into it, but they don't tell you exactly how much weight each one carries. It's based primarily on Twitter and Facebook. This is not really much of a secret. Things like, mentions of your name in Facebook posts. Mm-hmm. People who are engaged with a lot of brands on there, the likes that you have, the TV shows you like, stores that you like on Facebook, the number of comments you have, people who subscribe to you, the number of friends. Obviously, that's a metric, an obvious metric. You know, how many people follow you on Twitter? How many people follow you on Facebook? People who mention you on Twitter, or people who people you reply to and people who reply to you shows your engagement with that network. Mm-hmm. They've also extended it to Google Plus, LinkedIn, Foursquare, Wikipedia, things on LinkedIn. They go by your reported title. So if you say you're CEO of the world, then guess that would probably help your Clout score.
Yeah. So
although I think that's probably hard to verify.
These are relatively new. In the Clout world, these items, because before what they was really looking at was Twitter and Facebook. Mainly, first it was Twitter, and then it was Twitter and Facebook. Uh-huh. You could choose to link stuff to your Clout. If you create a Clout account, you could choose to link things like Google Plus, Facebook, Twitter, and other platforms as well. Now it looks at these other elements like Wikipedia, or if you are mentioned in something like the New York Times, so that it can determine, all right, well, you're getting press, people are writing about you, so then that means you are more influential than someone who is not getting press. So that would impact your score as well.
Yeah, if you want to sign up for Clout, you would sign up using your Twitter or Facebook information. Basically, once you're logged in, you can sign up for Clout, and it will access your account. Mm-hmm. And it will say, okay, do you want to add your other accounts? Do you want to add these other accounts? And there are even more than they're mentioned here. Things like Flickr and other accounts and things.
Sure.
What Jonathan said is true. They're also measuring this information whether or not you sign up for Clout.
Yeah. Because you're if you have a Twitter account and it's public and you are sending out messages, that's public record. That's stuff that anyone can access.
Yes.
So what Clout does is it will automatically start to index you and look at how other people are responding to you. So whether you have signed up for Clout or not, you may have a Clout score. And have we mentioned what the range of scores is? It's between 1 and 100.
That's correct.
So the higher your Clout score, the more clout you have and the more influence you would theoretically have over the web based upon, the algorithms assessment of you. Mm-hmm. Most people are not, like you would think the average would be 50, but the average is really closer to the 20s range. And it's that the people who are 50 or higher are assumed to be more influential in whatever fields they've been identified as being experts in.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you sign up, you'll find out that they ask you, hey, what are you influential in?
Yeah, and it turns out, like, if I log into my cloud and I look to see what I'm influential in, there's some things you would expect, you know, like technology is up there, which that makes sense. I do a tech podcast. I write tech articles for a website. That makes sense. There are other things like Atlanta restaurants. Huh. I didn't know that I was that influential with Atlanta restaurants. I should get better tables, darn it. But yeah, there are other things that I look at on that people have identified me as being influential, and some of them may be jokes. But that's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, and I think here is a good point to point out. And then there are critics and there are proponents of cloud, just like anything else. But I think it's a good point to go right down the middle and say, look, this is what one person and his company have done, you know, as Joe built this company up. This is how they chose to measure people. And it's not, it's based on one system.
Yeah.
So it's not really, I think, it was a couple of years ago, or was it a couple of years ago or last year, where they rejiggered the algorithm. And
really, it was this year. It was earlier this year.
I thought it was late 2011.
No, it was earlier this year when they changed it because
my score
skyrocketed. I had been around 62.
Uh-huh.
And then I jumped all the way up to 69. I was almost 70. It was very close to 70. And I was thinking, whoa, how'd that happen? Holy cow, I'm more. And I started comparing myself because, of course, you know.
Of course you did.
I'm a bit of an egomaniac. You know, I admit this. And so I was like, let me see what my good friend Ayaz Akhtar of This Week in Tech, Tech News Today, let me see how he ranks. Oh, he's at 65. He's lower than I am. Gosh, Ayaz. And of course, now I think he ranks rightfully so above me. Because these things do, you know, it was like an initial shock because people's scores changed pretty dramatically. Some went up quite a bit. Some went down. And then it's been slowly kind of readjusting to where it needs to be based on all this new information. And, you know, this can be really challenging because you're building an algorithm that needs to identify people, and it needs to be able to make sure it links to the right person. Because as it turns out, there's some folks out there who share the same name as mm-hmm. other people. Mm-hmm. And so you have a lot of false positives. For instance, if you were to search Jonathan Strickland in the Metro Atlanta area, some mugshots would be popping up, and none of them are me.
Today.
Okay, but let's be fair. Today is the recording of this podcast, yeah. None of those mugshots would be me.
Yes.
Who knows what tomorrow may bring. But that's the thing, is that it could end up identifying this stuff like, oh, Jonathan's being written about in criminal newsletters. That's odd, but I guess that adjusts his clout score. Like, no, that's not me. That's another Jonathan Strickland. And same spelling and everything. But, you know, so the algorithm has to take that stuff into account. The other thing that's kind of a controversy with clout is how companies are using clout in various ways.
Guys, it's Jonathan from 2019 interrupting this classical episode because I don't yet have quite enough clout to get away with this without taking a break to thank our sponsor.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas. loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
So what is clout, other than influence, a measure of influence in the social media world, an idea of that? What does clout get you? Very little.
Or a lot.
Or a lot, depending on how high your clout already is. Clout is a weird thing. In some cases, all it might get you is bragging rights, in the sense of, you know, you measure your clout against your buddy, like your buddy Ayaz Akhtar of This Week in Tech, Tech News Today. And then you say, hey, look at that. Or you may say,
I think his clout score is going up because you mentioned him twice.
And deservedly so. The man does good work. As much as I joke, he is an actual friend of mine. So maybe not after this podcast. But these numbers, for a large part of the population, may not mean much, although it can tell you how effective you are online. So in a sense, it's doing what it's supposed to do. It's telling you what your impact is. And if your impact is low, you might say, you know what? You might be cool with it. You might be saying, oh, you know, I just use this for fun to stay in touch with my friends. That's all I use it for. That I don't care. But if you are trying to get a message out there, then what it's telling you is your message is not being heard. It's not punishing you. This number is related back to that algorithm. And if you want to make sure your message is heard by more people, you need to look into ways of delivering that message in a way that interests people, that gets other people talking, that goes beyond just your immediate circle of followers. And if you're able to crack that code, and by the way, I do not have the secret sauce for that. There are some messages I send out there that go bonkers, and I think, wow, that's amazing. And then I'll sit there and I'll craft what I think is the most brilliant, funny, timely tweet of all time, and I send it out, and no one replies. No one favorites, no one retweets. So, I mean, I don't have that secret sauce, definitely. You need to ask people who have a much higher clout score than I do. But if your score is low, that could be an indicator that, hey, you need to change things so that you can make sure that whatever message you're sending out there is being heard by the right people.
Yeah. Yeah. And so and for somebody like, for politicians, for example.
Yeah.
This is incredibly important, or entrepreneurs who want to get the name out. Then there's the other group of people who are sort of in between. They're doing this sort of because they want to, and then they might be getting perks.
Yes.
There are clout perks.
Yeah. So if you are an influential person, then you are an attractive person for certain brands. If you are influential in a particular field, let's say with me, I'm influential in technology in Atlanta restaurants. Then let's say an Atlanta restaurant opens up and they are clout savvy. They understand how clout works.
Right.
They know, hey, if we convince this guy to come into our restaurant and eat our food and we really pull out all the stops, he's going to go out and he's going to talk about this incredible experience he had. And because his influence is high in this area, that means we could see a return on that investment. We could see people come in because we tapped the right person to talk about this. And that can go across all sorts of industries. That being said, I'll come out and say it right now. I have not received any clout perks. I don't use clout to get clout perks. I'm not saying that I would never use one. If one came along that was just unbelievable and I'm like, hey, this is exactly what I need and exactly how I need it, I would probably do it, but I've never had that happen.
Yeah, the companies involved in clout perks are generally people who want to do some promotion.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple.
Right.
And so once you get your clout score up to a certain level, and it depends on what it is.
Yeah, it depends on the company. Like some companies will say, okay, anyone who's below a 75, we're not interested in because that's not worth the time it would take to do this.
Yeah, but you might pass, let's say 30, and they'll say, hey, people with a clout score of 30, we'll give you a coupon for a free six pack of our new soda flavor.
Yeah.
Go ahead and redeem it at your local store. You know, tell us where to mail the coupon. So they mail the coupon and you get the beverage and you try it and you go, hey, this stuff is pretty good. What they're hoping, but there is no requirement to do, what they're hoping is you're going to share that experience with your friends. Hey, I was on clout. They sent me a coupon. I tried this stuff. It tastes like a combination of mangoes and feet, but I happen to like the taste of mangoes and feet. So I'm going to, you know, tweet this on Facebook and Twitter and put it on my Google Plus account and mention it on LinkedIn. That you just did exactly what the promoters were. What? Apparently my choice of mangoes and feet was not a good
one. I just wanted
to do something silly.
I'm trying not to think about that taste right now.
I just wanted to say something silly.
I don't like mangoes and I really don't like feet.
But yeah, okay, so that's essentially what they're hoping that you'll say that. Clout for its promote its own credibility here. And I feel like it's fair to mention this. Clout says there's absolutely no obligation on your part as a clout participant, if you get a perk, to promote it in any way at all. You can take them up on the perk. You can decline the perk. You can tweet about it or not. And you know, it's up to you whether you could say, hey, this stuff is nasty. I don't ever want to see it again. I hope they pull it from the market fast before I sue them.
Yeah.
You know, that is completely up to you. But it depends partially on your clout score, and it depends partially on what areas you are influential in. I would assume that President Obama and Justin Bieber probably, you know, get all the clout perks they want. They probably don't take anyone up on them.
Yeah, there's also, we should also point out that with perks comes the responsibility of revealing the fact that you have received this as a perk, because there's an ethical problem if you don't do that.
Yeah, and a legal problem too.
Yeah.
In the United States, the quote unquote mommy bloggers, without clout, this was going on for a while, and they were not revealing that they had received this as a perk. Again, to its credit, clout encourages you to
reveal that. Yeah.
Remember, if you're going to post this, say, hey, I got it free because I was here.
Yeah. So, yeah, the clout's not condoning unethical behavior, which, you know, that's important to remember because there are critics who kind of overlook that. You know,
that's why I wanted to mention the what you get for it first before we got to the critics.
Yeah, so it's become a great tool for companies to try and court influencers. Chris and I have a little bit more to say about clout, but before we get to that, let's take another quick break.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
In some cases, it may be that a company says, hey, this person is really influential in the field that we're involved in. Mm-hmm. Let's not just give them a perk. Let's hire them to do something for us. So in that case, you're talking about, like, you might have a freelancer out there who is just an incredible influencer in a particular industry. And then this company says, this is who we need to get to represent our brand or to message out something about our brand. And we're going to actually hire them. Maybe it's a contract for a certain number of appearances, or maybe we actually give them a job offer. And that's another way that people are using clout. Some companies, particularly advertising firms, marketing firms, places where your ability to get a message out is clearly an important part of your job, mm-hmm. they are looking at clout scores. Because
yes,
if you're going into an ad agency and you're saying, hey, I know how to message out information. I am the guy that you need, or the lady you need to hire for this position, because I know what I'm doing. And then they look up your clout score and it's like 22. They'll say, hey, can you show us a better example than your clout score? Because according to this, you are not getting your message heard. And that's, you know, that's also drawn some criticism. People have said, well, how is that fair? And the counter argument is to say, well, if the algorithm is measuring how well a message is going out across networks and the score is really low, how would it be fair to this company to hire someone who is not as good as a different potential employee who has a much higher clout score, who has proven that they are able to get a message out across networks?
Yeah. The clout score has come into hiring practices recently.
Yeah.
I've seen articles written on it, and people who were unaware of the clout score, you know, they hadn't signed up for it, didn't know it existed, sort of taken aback by the fact that there is a clout score. Yes, you are being measured. That's a little weird, I think, for some people.
Yeah.
And people without knowing, and it's, again, the reason they compare the clout score to the credit score is that without knowing exactly what you're being measured on, it's difficult to improve on it.
Yeah.
It can be a bit of a treadmill too, to constantly try to figure out what to say next and how often to say it and exactly what way to say it in, because
what time to say it, because there are, you know, that's something I actually take into consideration. You see, Chris and I, we don't just interface with social networks for ourselves. Sometimes we do it for our tech stuff brand. Right? Because,
Yes. Because
we want people to know what we are doing as tech stuff. We want to stay engaged with our audience. We want to know what they're thinking. So, but there comes a time where you're like, should I post this now? Because my audience might be asleep, you know? And then you think, well, considering how many of us are tuned into the social networking crazes out there, a message that was posted 4 hours ago may never be seen. You know, if I log into Twitter and there's a message that was posted about 4 hours ago that I think would have been amazing, I might never get to that, because to page back through that many tweets is a daunting task. I'd have to clear out a half hour, 45 minutes of my schedule just to do that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that also comes into play, is when you should post. If you're really trying to use social networking to get a message out. You know, if you're just using social networking to say, I watched that episode of blah, blah, blah last night and it was phenomenal, it may not matter that you post it at 2 in the morning or 8 a.m. or 4 p.m. It may not have any impact there.
Yeah.
And that might be fine for you. There's nothing wrong with that. The other element of this is, unlike the credit score, the clout score is something that I think a lot of people are not aware of. And that's a problem. You know, because they could be judged on something that they themselves had no knowledge of going into, you know, a job interview.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I also found an article by Menachem Wecker, about a professor at Florida State University who was using clout to grade his students in class. Now, it was for a marketing class. It was, you know, for an electronic marketing class. So people were upset about it, but it kind of makes me think, well, if this is specifically a metric for measuring your ability to market yourself in electronic media, maybe clout's, I don't know that I would make it the sole thing that you grade someone on, but it probably at least belongs in part of it.
Yeah, I mean,
or should build an awareness that the class should build an awareness of its prominence in today's society for that. But I wanted to mention too, one thing that where it doesn't compare to a credit score, however, is there are more than one agency developing credit scores in the United States. Clout is not alone, but it is
the
it holds
player.
An unusual prominence in its field.
Got a lot of clout, as it turns out.
You might say that.
So yeah, it's if we assume that the clout algorithm is looking at things in a very methodical and measured way, and that it is, in the end of the day, looking at the how influential people are based upon how widely their message is heard and how many people are writing about that person, then clout in and of itself is an interesting and, I think, valuable service for people who are trying to get a message out. It's not necessarily a good thing or bad thing. It's a useful tool. The way other people are using this tool might be, you know, might make you upset, or it might thrill you depending on your clout score.
Right.
But that's, you know, again, you can't blame the tool for the way people are using it. Right. I mean, same thing we could say about Twitter. Twitter, when it was launched, people were talking about Twitter being a way that you would send out a message to a group of friends. Right. That was the main use case of Twitter. That has totally changed since Twitter launched.
Oh, yes.
And one of these days we are going to do an episode, or at least one episode, about the Twitter. It'll probably be a two-parter. But the story of Twitter, to really talk about the foundation of it, what it was originally meant for, and what it has turned into, especially in light of the controversy of how Twitter has handled the whole API approach and third-party developers, because that's definitely caused a lot of frustration in the tech world. And you've got companies like Clout that are very much leveraging Twitter to get, you know, to become a valuable service. So at the end of the day, does Clout really matter? I guess it depends on the industry you're in. And the nice thing about the Clout score is it's not static. It will change over time. And if you are dedicated to increasing that clout score, you can do it in legitimate ways. Hopefully, the clout algorithm will be able to take into account things like dummy Twitter accounts or dummy Facebook accounts, so that if you were to get a huge number of followers immediately, it would not automatically adjust your score, because obviously you could game that system. I mean, there are companies out there already that only exist to provide people essentially fake accounts.
Yeah.
There are even other ones that will try and get real accounts to follow you, but there's this whole I scratch your back, you scratch mine approach, where, you know, like, if you follow these 20 people, these 20 people will follow you back. You know, that's kind of a, you know, almost like a pyramid scheme of Twitter followers. I would hope that the clout algorithm takes that into account and, again, really concentrates more on the impact. And hopefully avoids counting false positives. And that wraps up this classic episode about clout. Yeah, clout went belly up. Originally, it started to kind of get away from the whole scoring system, and then eventually it went away entirely. It was an interesting idea, but one that was almost guaranteed to go sour pretty quickly. If we ever assign scores for anything, people will start trying to figure out how to game the system, because, of course, getting a high score means winning. Well, if you have any suggestions for future episodes of Tech Stuff, send me an email. The address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com, or pop on over to techstuffpodcast.com. You're going to find an archive of all of our past shows there. You will also find links to where we are on social media and a link to our online store, where every purchase you make goes to help the show, and we greatly appreciate it. And I'll talk to you again really soon.
Tech Stuff is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com. /compatibility.